The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Closer, my child.
Well, guys, we're back with another mixtape. Once again, I got Brian, Demon Racers, the almost flat earther. I'm probably still leaning toward the ball earth, but Brian's back. What's going on, bro?
What's up? Not exactly, you know, I'm sort of like, you know, a still controversial view of the planet Earth that we live on, we'll say.
You're still in the questioning everything phase and still trying to.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I had the best responses I got from our last podcast was that some people really enjoyed the fact that you and I don't agree about those things, and we're still, you know, me, you, and Paul are still laughing and discussing other things, and it's never really getting tense. And, I do think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a conversation with a friend yesterday who, like, is a content creator, and we don't agree about, well, there's a lot of things. Brian and I agree about a lot more than me and this other guy does. But we were saying, like, I do believe it's important to be brothers, be friends, and brothers in Christ, and be able to disagree about things. I think that if Brian and I disagreed about the gospel, well, then no, this podcast would not be happening.
Yeah.
But if we can disagree about those kind of things, that I always think about it like this, that if I've changed my mind about things and I'm still a work in progress, then you should give grace to other people. Cause it's like, well, maybe what if I'm wrong about something? I'm going to come along to Brian's position, or maybe Brian will come along later to mine. I think the important part is that you can disagree, you can make your case. Sometimes you know when to stop talking, and then sometimes you can just say, like, hey, we'll just agree to disagree for now, and then we'll just move on to something else.
That's how you learn to grow, is through disagreements. And in fact, there's been things that me and JT disagreed on, and we've changed our opinions because of our discussion of one another topping and explain stuff. And so it's like, it molds you, it brings out truth, you know, and never be so pious or so arrogant to think that you have all the answers. Like, that's ridiculous. When you have that view set, like, you miss it. And like, that's why it's like, you know, I can't definitively say anything particular. I can only share from my experiences, the things that I know and the stuff that I've learned. Right. But it doesn't mean and like, where do I know it from? I know it from books a lot of times, but there is, and from personal experience, right? But even personal experience can be subjective. Like, you may think that I've cast out so many demons, and like, my opinion of what the demons were, even from a person who cast them out, has shifted, like, against what the perspective of the mainstream concept of what people believe in, even a little bit. You know, and that's just because I'm not holding to the standard that everybody in the world points at us. Like, again, there's two different types of people. There is truth seekers and there's belief defenders. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we are truth seekers. So we're open to discussion. We invite people that have opposing ideas to talk with us. We invite anybody that wants to debate us and stuff. Like, we would totally be like, okay, let's talk about it. So yeah. Anyways.
No, I think it's good. I think it's, I think the way I view it is that me and Brian agree about the important things, and I think it's good that me and him look at things differently, because this show would be, you know, having a podcast with somebody who agreed with me 100% of the time would be boring and be redundant. You know, it's, we don't want this to totally be an echo chamber. Obviously we have one real truth that we cling to and we build everything upon. But other than that, it's like, I think that we are dealing with topics that they're, they are a little bit veiled. We're digging into the mysteries and theories, and we tell you when we're theorizing and what we believe and why we believe it. And yeah, I think that if you can't have somebody else who's got a slightly different take on it, it's like you're gonna be missing a lot. That everyone's just like, oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, like no, we don't need the amen choir. We want people challenging us, especially in the comments and all that kind of stuff. So that's the goal, anyways.
One of my friends actually brought up after watching the Flat Earth one, and he was like, I'm so disappointed in you, Brian. he called me and was like, bro, I can't believe you don't believe that it's flat. He was all mad. It was kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, well, no, you know, I mean, there was obviously a lot of that in the comment section. But I said, I do think it's like that is, at the end of the day, it's like, some people have said, oh, they want me to come on and debate Flat Earth with somebody. I was like, there's lots of people who do that. That's not who I am. And it's like, I do think it's important. I think biblical cosmology is important, but I don't like, you're never going to hear my, you know, I'm never going to change my news username to Flat Earth JT or something like that, because it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I do believe those are secondary issues, and I do believe it's important. Like I said, I'm not trying to discount it, but I'm trying to say that we are still questioning things. And again, I 2 years ago I would have said it's a ball, but now I don't. So anyways, dude, I'm extending grace to people, and I'm like I said at the same time, we got bigger truths I think we're trying to get to. And that's, I mean, it's a big one, but I mean, like, we do have things we're really trying to dig into.
It's a big one, but it's not one that really affects like your day-to-day life necessarily. Exactly. So it affects your perspective of reality, and maybe that could somewhat have a little bit of a tinge of a perspective of your view of God, maybe a little bit, tiny bit, I think, but not very much. So that's why I don't think it's a very big non-issue. And part of me is like, you know, like I believe things when I can see it. And the thing is, it's really hard to observe something like that, how big the earth is and how round it is, if it is round or if it's flat. You know, it's really hard to observe it. And so we've got to look at it from a very scientific point of view. And I've only done minimal scientific experiments to try to determine if it was truly flat or round. And so, like, for me, it's like, it's hard for me to say anything until I get an answer. I try to bring you guys truth from what I know and from what I experience, right? So, like, I don't know.
Well, you know, I would say this, that I think it's good that you ask some questions. And if you guys, and if you guys obviously disagree with Brian, you have answers for some of the questions he brought in the last one. I think that we want to have all the answers for the questions if we're on the side of the truth. So, you know, we can say we don't know, but obviously I know some people are more read in this area, and they would have better answers. They would have answers on the spot for Brian, and I don't. And that's why I said, that's why I'm not going to debate it. And that's why I'm also like, And the reason I don't have answers like that is because I've come to the conclusion it is what it is, and I don't need to find out everything. Maybe one day, not today. But with that being said, let's play the first video, and I'm going to play one of my videos, and it's kind of hot off the presses. I did it this weekend, and I think it's going to relate a little bit to the shape of the Earth. So the NASA moon mission is delayed again. Yeah, that's right. The Artemis program, which started in 2017. Delayed their moon mission once again till this time 2027. So check this out by contrast. The Artemis program, which was started in 2017, is delaying their moon mission till supposedly 2027 at the earliest. Well, the Apollo mission started in 1961, and supposedly they landed a man on the moon in less than 8 years. Guys, you following what I'm saying here? It took them less time in the 1960s to build their program all the way to the moon than it takes now. So the logical conclusion is, guys, they're not going back to the moon anytime soon because they can't go to the moon and they never could. I mean, you guys don't really believe they live streamed from the moon in 1969 and talked to the president from a landline in 1969. But they can't go today. Come on, guys. Just admit it was silly to ever believe them. NASA, not a space agency.
That's so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. And honestly, like, it's hilarious. Like, that you put out such a good point. I sent that one to one of my friends, actually, who was like, still debates that we went to the moon. I was like, oh, really? Like, okay. 8 years, guys. It took less than 8 years in a time where we had never done it. No experience, no understanding, no technology. Mm-hmm. Yet today it's going to take us, with the supposed understanding and technology and research and data that we have today, it's still going to take us more than 10 years to get there is like, it's comical at best. You got to be completely ignorant if you honestly think we went to the moon. You got to be completely ignorant of all the data, of all the things that are out there. Not saying you're dumb. I'm just saying, like, you do not know, because it is so obvious when you look at all the information at this point. There's no freaking way that we went to the moon whatsoever. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, so it's going to take them over 10 years. And that's at the earliest. And obviously, we already seen what they're doing is just kicking the can down the road, because I forgot what the original schedule was when they were supposed to get there, but it was by now. They were supposed to already have somebody land on them. And it wasn't going to be a man. It was going to be a person, most likely a person of color. A they, them would have landed on the moon at this point in order to say, look how great we are. So I think in 2026, they're saying they're going to fly around the moon or something. And then in 2027, at the earliest, they're going to put feet on the moon. Now,
gosh.
Like I said, the logical conclusion is they're not going because they can't. And also, they never could, because if they could before, I mean, the whole idea of like that one guy, I forget the guy's name.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again.
Who said, we're the one, we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back. Well, that guy's actually an astronaut. He gets quoted a lot.
Let's just
say that was even true. Obviously, they would have some remnants of the idea that they had, even if, like, they would have wrote some things down, I'm sure, right? Like the math and everything. So, like, to build it back from, it's not like they're starting from zero, right? Even if they did destroy the technology. Also, it makes no sense to destroy technology unless something has surpassed it, right? I mean, that's generally what we do, right?
Yeah.
Older technology becomes obsolete because a better thing was created. We don't typically just light things on fire just because. it is preposterous. That whole I think that's my favorite part about the moon landing stuff is that the landline call,
the
video directly from the moon, live streaming from it, and then the president talking to astronauts while they're on the moon.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
What's funny too is in The Office you have Nixon with a picture of the moon, like behind them, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, supposedly they took the picture on an earlier mission where they went all the way to the moon but didn't get out.
But they're talking
on the moon, and I don't know. It just, to me, it's like, obviously that would be so dangerous. They would have so many variables about like this new thing they're doing. I think somebody would say, you know what? It might be a little bit dangerous there's astronauts worry about talking to the president. Like, we don't even know what the surface is going to feel like when we step on it and stuff like that. What if there's moon monsters? What if something bad happens? Everything went out without any problems. It went perfectly.
Yeah, no,
you know,
nothing.
all the news networks covered it, and Nixon had a nice conversation with Neil and Buzz.
Yeah,
when they're on the moon. Mm-hmm. But now, in 2024, no, we can't do that. We need at least 10. You know, they might as well just say 2037, and then we'll just say we're just going to continue to spend taxpayer money.
Yeah, just keep wasting the money on it. So you know the moon landing Stanley Kubrick confession. I kind of want to show people this.
I've seen that, but you know, people question if that was really him.
It was him.
You think it was him?
Wait, watch. So look at this. Is what I'm going to tell you guys. I want you to go to BitChute. I want you to just type in moon landing Stanley Kubrick. Okay, this is the video you're going to find. Okay, it's about 20 minutes long. See this? There's actually, I think there's a version where it's 27 minutes long. So this might not be the exact correct video. But if you just go to BitChute and type in moon landing, Stanley Kubrick, I believe it is. I want everyone to watch this. Okay. I want everybody to watch this. Yeah. It's the 20 minute long, this one. Okay. It's the longest one. All right. That's the full confession. Let me see here. Yeah. Yeah. This is the full confession clip. Okay. right here. Now, here's the interesting thing, guys. Here's the interesting part. This Stanley Kubrick confession, this is what it looks like. He's talking, okay? And he is talking about, it's a role play, actually. And here's the thing. This is I believe, is truly genuinely him. And the reason why is because when you listen to the whole clip, there he says some very questionable things that do not sound good whatsoever. And at the very end of the clip, at the very end, the man recording him gives him a hypnotic response. Okay.
Interesting.
And this is why people devalue this clip. Because at the very end, the man recording goes, he asks him a question, and Stanley goes, and then the guy recording goes, no, this is what you say. You say this, 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 and this. And then Stanley's like, oh, yeah, that's what I say. Okay. And then he like tells him, okay, ready and go. And he's under hypnosis, guys. Stanley Kubrick in this video is under hypnosis, and the man recording is a hypnotist. He gives him three times in that clip. You will see the man recording will give directions to Stanley Kubrick and then go back to acting like he's like interviewing, like he doesn't know what's happening. And so the guy giving the hypnotic reductions is the dude recording. And this is why it's even more insidious than you realize. The reason why this clip was never released, and I'm going to tell you why it was never released, was because they knew that they wanted to eventually say, oh, the moon landings were fake. Okay. And they were going to admit it to some degree, I believe. And I believe they were going to say, okay, guys, look, here's the truth, blah, blah, blah. And this clip was going to get released, but they were going to edit this clip before this clip got leaked. So whatever happened, this clip, they wanted to cut out the parts where the interviewer is giving hypnotic induction responses to Stanley Kubrick. They wanted to cut those parts out. They didn't cut them out. Someone got the full clip without the edited parts removed. And this is why this clip is so controversial. Okay. I don't know if you know this. It's because there is a hypnotist doing the interview. So anyways, I encourage everybody to go watch this clip. It's 20 minutes. Like I said, I believe I've seen a version where it was 27 minutes, I believe, but it's kind of long, definitely worth watching. It's going to make you question. It's going to make you question a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to start being like, this is strange. Why is Stanley being hypnotized? It seems like, because it's all, they don't want you to know about hypnosis. That's the real thing. The government doesn't want you to know about, guys. I'm gonna tell you right now, they do not want you to know, but they don't care if you know if the moon landing was fake. That's not that big of a deal to them. But the big deal, I mean, like, that's some level because there is mind control involved in it and they lose some of the mind control properties. But what they really don't want you to know about is the fact that hypnosis, mind control, is very real, and it's happening to everyone, even to Stanley Kubrick, even to the people that think they went to the moon. The people that went to the moon.
Especially the people who think they went to the moon.
Yes, the people that went to the moon think they actually went there, guys. They're not lying. They are deceived. You have to understand, they are under hypnosis, just like the rest of the world is, to believe that they actually went there. And that's the big lie they don't want you to know. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
big rant.
I don't need Stanley Kubrick to say that anyone went to the moon, but that is interesting with the idea of, like, the people who are involved in the program. Like some people have always questioned, like, well, how doesn't more people talk about this? Well, I do believe that, for one, people are on a need to know basis. And also, yeah, I do believe that not everyone is fit to be in these projects. And obviously, if you know what I mean, there, some people are suggestible and they're prone to this kind of stuff. Okay,
Do you remember the theory they have on astronauts when we were children? It was like only a select,
only the best
type,
and the brightest,
and it was like and even if you're the best and the brightest, only a certain type of people that are very selective even get chosen.
Yeah.
Not everyone can be an astronaut. You have to be.
To be in a club.
Yeah, you have to usually be in a club, exactly.
You have to be in a secret club.
And then and they also vet your family. They talk about vetting. About the theories that they vet your family when they choose an astronaut. Okay. This is some of the stuff that I knew growing up, assuming that we went to the, and it was like, oh, it's a big deal. Cause everybody thinks at one point they want to be an astronaut. I did, but I'm sure a lot of people have thought that, but the thing is, like, when you realize that the reason why the vetting is so arduous is because they got to see that you're a hypnotic subject.
Yeah. You got
to
be suggestible.
Somebody that's intelligent, but also suggestible. And it's a, there's a bridge there that kind of sometimes doesn't very well overlap.
Anyways. Okay, I want to switch gears here real quick. I want to go to a video that I thought was awesome. Have you guys heard of Billy Carson?
Oh, yes. This is great.
I know you're going to like this, Brian. So Billy Carson is, let's just say it. He's not credible, but he comes off as like he knows everything. And so he did a debate with this guy named Wesley Huff. Mm-hmm. And I guess Wesley Huff he's got receipts. This guy's well studied. This guy is obviously somebody you don't want to debate unless you're quite prepared. And I'm going to show you a clip to show you that Wesley was prepared. Billy was not.
They were on another podcast, by the way, while you're bringing that up. They were on someone else's podcast. They were both brought on to discuss this topic that they were talking about. And Wes is a Christian. And Billy Carson, for those that don't know, is not a Christian. He is a very worldly man who deceives people. He's on the bridge of the kind of stuff that we talk about, though.
He's the reason we make movies like Ancient Angels
and we're doing the Ancient Angels podcast that he puts out.
Because there's with lots of mystery and lots of truth in these spheres, there's a lot of room to either just fabricate things whole cloth or twist truths in order to project a new age worldview, which obviously he does. Let's show the clip and then we can talk a little bit more about it afterwards.
According to the Sinai Bible, Jesus wasn't crucified in that Bible.
Do you mind if I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
When you say the Sinai Bible, what are you referring to specifically? Refer to the Sinai Bible. Would you be referring to Codex Sinaiticus? Like the codex that comes... Okay, that's why I was trying to get some clarification. Because I actually have... I have a facsimile. So I have a photocopy of Codex Sinaiticus that I work with in my office. So I have it here. And the only reason I ask for clarification is because Sinaiticus in particular is just a 4th century Greek manuscript. Its text of the Gospels reads almost identical to the modern Greek text that we develop translations from. When you say that it denies the crucifixion or that the crucifixion isn't there, I mean, I can go on right now, Codex Sinaiticus, and I can look up Matthew 27, where it has Jesus being crucified, and that's in Codex Sinaiticus, or John 19, or any of the other ones. So my confusion is that it doesn't read any differently.
Where was that piece discovered?
I found the text where I was referencing, actually. I misquoted there. It's the Gospel of Barnabas.
Never got crucified. As a matter of fact, the Sinai Bible.
Jesus was crucified. Well, that doesn't exist in the Sinai Bible.
The Sinai Bible.
The Sinai Bible.
But then you go to the Sinai Bible.
In the Sinai Bible.
And the Sinai Bible.
According to the Sinai Bible, Jesus wasn't crucified in that Bible.
I love the edit where he like puts all the other clips of him saying the same thing because he's like, oh, I misquoted. Except for you've been misquoting Billy Carson for a real long, 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 long time.
Yeah, the talk about the total boss move of saying, do you mean this Bible right here? just reaching right over your shoulder and just pulling it off the shelf. Yeah, like that is, you know, I wonder if, I'm guessing like a guy like Wesley Huff, for one, I'm sure he was aware of that book. I wonder if he had watched just enough of Billy Carson repeating that garbage to say that I'm going to do this, or did he literally have it behind him already? Because I mean, like, either way, I think it's awesome. It means like this guy's prepared. He knew who he was debating, and yeah, like that. There's so many people, especially like when you get into like spheres like with Billy Carson, who like talk about things like the zeitgeist, and they say, "Oh, well, Jesus is just a story that's repeated over and over again, and he's really not anything unique. It's just these mythologies, and now Western Christians believe in this thing that's ancient. It's actually an Egyptian thing." When the interesting part about that is like that, okay, so the prophecies about Jesus go all the way back to the book of Genesis. So like if there was figures later that resembled him or even mythologies, it's kind of like the devil knows the story, kind of. Like he knows a little bit about the story, but it's always a little bit off. Yeah. And so that's why obviously if they knew the full story, they never, like Paul said, they never would have crucified our Lord if they knew what the real plan was. But yeah, when people like him say, I remember like Bill Maher talked about this saying like, oh yeah, Jesus is like one of like, I don't know how many different mythologies. He's just another one. No, Jesus is unique. The story of Jesus is true. And people like Billy Carson prey on people who obviously do not have the receipts, and they're unsure. And a lot of people he does deceive are people who'd like to believe that Jesus isn't special.
Yeah.
But obviously he is. And when you have the truth on your side, you can make somebody like him. He got destroyed. He got embarrassed. Yeah. And not only that, I should mention this.
And then he's suing him. He's trying to sue him now.
That, that Wes Huff actually posted the other day that, he got a cease and desist, and he's going to try to, I think Billy Carson, we'll see if this video even stands. Like he was trying to copyright strike. Everybody was posting clips of this debate because obviously he got wrecked, and it's like his credibility is, obviously the idea that you were going to sue this guy for posting clips of the debate you guys were in. Wow.
Dude, it's his credibility just went so far. You know, it's funny because like so many people message me videos of Billy Carson because, again, we're right on the fringe there of like, okay, our history has been distorted. What's the real truth? And Billy Carson unfortunately offers an illusionary solution to what the real truth is. But his illusionary solution is very, very improper to the reality of the truth. Like he just makes stuff up, dude. He like pulls things out. He lies. He makes things up. Like a lot of what Billy Carson says and does is complete lies. And I have to tell people this when they message me and ask me about Billy Carson. I'm like, bro, don't believe anything Billy Carson says. Like 90% of what he's saying is literally like just is like fabrications from like one little thing that's exaggerated to an nth degree to fit this narrative of aliens and whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what Billy Carson does. Okay. His whole thing, he'll take a little tiny thing. And when you go back to the little tiny thing that he took, you're like, that's not what it says at all. You're like, that's completely ridiculous. And so
He's a grifter.
Done many times with Billy Carson. I've had to go through his stuff and be like, okay, that's completely fabricated and giant leaps. So hopefully this will wake up people to the truth that Billy Carson's leading you down a path of stupidity, death, and destruction that is not true.
Yeah, you know what? The interesting part too is that what he does, and we've called out other people who do similar things to him. If you ever see him on any shows, this guy is the most confident guy you've ever heard. And that's why a lot of people would believe what he says. And I think that, as Brian and I said about other people, we would say that when you see this, you can see this pride in this man, and he seems so sure of himself, and he's got an answer for everything.
Yep.
The problem is his answers are often wrong when they're actually checked versus his sources. It's kind of similar where I remember Zachariah Sitchin.
He famously
translated these Sumerian tablets, and he got all this, the story of Nibiru and all the stuff about the Anunnaki. Man. And Dr. Michael Heiser destroyed him because it's like they were saying his translations were so off, and he's got a little bit of truth.
People still even quote from Zachariah Sitchin, or that he's even got like a name still.
Well, because it's in the same way, because people want it to be true. I mean, I think that's the thing. And we talk about in Ancient Angels is that you have the story of the Anunnaki. Is the story of the Anunnaki true? I mean, it comes from a true place, but no, it's not true. Like, I mean, obviously it's based on something real, but I mean, I think that's how you get this idea of like that there's these other gods. And again, we always have to go back and forth about like, oh, is there other gods? The angels are worshiped as gods, and therefore, you can call them gods if you want to. Like, we would know that we're not comparing them at all to the Most High God, who's the creator of everything. But that's exactly how these stories start, is that these superior beings to us came from another place, from the heavens. And guys like Billy Carson, even like guys like Tim Alberino, will say that other place was outer space. But I mean, the stories actually say it was from the heavens. The Bible says beings from the heavens came down. The Book of Enoch says beings from the heavens came down. Those beings are not aliens. I mean, they're not aliens in the sense of like the movies. They're aliens in the sense that they're not from Earth. This is not their first estate. And that's exactly what it means when the Book of Jude talks about how these angels left their first estate. And
they're
then those
aliens.
Angels they're, those yeah. angels were those angels were put in chains for what they did.
Yeah.
And it makes sense in the biblical worldview. And that's why we do kind of like, even like Brian and I, some of the things that Billy Carson would say would be interesting, because like I do like to hear the perspective from the other religions, because, you know, I've got the truth and we're trying to glean little bits of it. But I mean, like, you listen to a guy like him, his information is worthless because we mm-hmm. already know it's filled with all these lies in it. Or just, I mean, how he got things so wrong. I guess the only reason you could be as wrong as him, the way he's quoting the Sinai Bible, and there's no such thing. Codex Sinaiticus. So awesome how you did that. But I mean, the point is mm-hmm. like that he should know better when he's on that many shows saying that the crucifixion's not in there when it actually is.
Yeah.
So I mean, like it's up to you. Either way, he should have known what he was saying was incorrect. Whether he was outright saying falsehoods on purpose, or he's just talking out his rear end in order to project his worldview onto to all the stuff we talk about.
And regardless of what he's talking about, the Gospel of Barnabas. The Gospel of Barnabas is Barnabutness, okay? Like literally, like just.
Well, yeah, I know that Wesley mentions it on another video that I think that there is a there's an epistle of Barnabas that actually I think is legit. It's in the Apocrypha, but the Gospel of Barnabas was like supposedly, in the line of other Gnostic texts, you know, probably like in the Gospel of Thomas and all that stuff that are not. Was never canonized by early Christians.
Yeah, and there was validity for that, and there was like it's got all kinds of distortions and stuff in it that are very obviously not in alignment with the rest of the text and the rest of the biblical context that's being portrayed. So yeah, don't believe the lies, people. Don't believe the lies, and they're not aliens, guys. Remember, they're Eleons,
mm-hmm.
Eleons.
Yeah,
because they're from their Els. They're Elohim.
Yeah. Elohim. All right. We're gonna switch gears wildly here, and we're gonna go to I don't say Brian, if you heard, we haven't talked about this story, but I thought is a lot of people were, especially on X.
My Hulk meme coin is live!
Could Hulk 2 girl be in serious trouble? Damning allegations are being aimed at Hailey Welch after her crypto meme coin launch.
This is one of the most miserable, horrible launches I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, then why the f*** are you on?
The launch of the coin was questioned immediately. The fees for buying Hulk were 15% on top of the transaction cost, something that CoffeeZilla did not take kindly to.
You guys generated over $1 million in fees while y'all's fans got rug pulled.
After the coin surged on launch, it's alleged that tokens held by insiders of the project were sold within 15 minutes of that launch for millions and millions of dollars, crashing the price entirely and losing fans thousands.
This is the worst tokenomics I've ever seen, and it is a scam.
Whoa.
Did you hear about that story, Brian?
No, I didn't, but I don't check into the... I'm like, you know, I do Bitcoin things. I try to... I'm very limited on my meme coin involvement. So and I don't think I would have bought Hawk 2's meme coin just because of the ethical implications of her whole behavior.
Right. Well, you know, so if people don't know, which you probably, unfortunately, we all do know, how this girl got famous for saying something very lewd in a comical way. And a lot of people wonder, is she a plant? Because she gets the rocket treatment to the moon. Obviously, she should have had about 15 minutes of internet fame. Instead, she gets affiliated with Jake Paul. Obviously, you guys know who Jake Paul is. And then she gets her own podcast. And now, like, through that success, they have they develop this meme coin, which is some kind of version of cryptocurrency. And she promotes it to the moon. And obviously, we know that she's not the creator of this thing, but she's the face behind it. So the real question is, like, who are the people who are pushing her? Who are the people who are creating this meme coin in order to, I mean, it seems like they did this just to rob people, because
that's literally what it was. There's no way.
Yeah. Like it's so nefarious what they did. And it's like, how much did she know about what she was doing? But I mean, like, like for one, it's like, this person like her gets famous and then this is what happens next. I mean, it's
so terrible.
I mean, at some point I would just say it's like, she's obviously being used. Did she really realize how quickly she would be turned into a villain?
I don't think she's very smart, honestly, just looking at her average IQ perspective and how she responds to things. Like, she's just like, oh really? I didn't think that's how it was. And just like, You're like, dude, this girl is like missing a few brain cell connections for sure. And it's nothing sad about her. I'm not trying to be mean to her, but like, bro, girl, wake up. Whatever's going on in your reality, you are on a train of destruction. I hope you wake up to the realization people are playing you like a fiddle right now and using you and your whole persona. So like, yeah. she thinks she's in control or something, but dude, she ain't in control.
You know, there was an excellent clip, and I'll see if I can dig this one up. But there was some model, I believe, that was saying that there was a time where fame was the byproduct of achievement, right? Like that you would do something, like obviously you'd be like an awesome athlete and you'd get to win the Super Bowl or something like that. You would be a great actor or a singer and your talent would rise to the top and then you'd be famous.
Yeah, because that's everyone the illusion. That's the illusion we still have in our head.
This is what her point was. And she was saying like that so people became famous because they did things, they achieved things. It's like, but now we live in a culture where people are chasing fame and not achievement. So she was saying like that somebody who's willing to do anything to be famous is willing to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. And like that's what you see, and that's what this Hawk Tua thing is like that. I mean, it's basically like prostituting yourself for like whatever in order to be famous. But you have to understand, like the people who are backing her, they don't care about her. I mean, because I have a feeling she did not know that this was going to happen. Because if you really think about it, like if you're her, you get propped up on this podcast. She's really young. I'm sure she's making decent money on the podcast, you know, just for talking and, you know, goofing off. She's got she has no knowledge or any skills of anything that gave her that job.
Oh, but she's got this. She's Jewish. Did you see the interview where she came in and then they brought in the DNA test of her? They like, dude.
Did they really say that online?
It was so ridiculous. There was an interview. I watched the interview. It was like somebody famous, like Jimmy Kimmel or somebody, had her spit in a thing, and then like
a few minutes serious?
Later, yeah, and then a few minutes later, brought in and goes, "You're Jewish," and
like, you know your whole
lineage.
Not really.
No?
No.
So what I have for you is a DNA test that you just have to Hawk Tua in. Here, take it. Do we have the results yet from her spit take?
Yeah, I think we got the expedited version.
There, look.
European? Siberian? East Asian?
Wait, you're...
Jewish?
97% yes. Jewish.
Yeah.
97.7% okay. Jewish. Okay.
Yes.
Are you Jewish?
Oh, yes, I am.
Are you really?
Yeah, Ashkenazi. Yeah.
You're in a room full of Jews.
Are you scared?
No shit!
Welcome to Hollywood!
Yes. It was such a plant move.
Right, this is the YouTube portion of the podcast. Let's just say you can draw your own conclusions for that. I would say that what's interesting about that is, you know, why is that? Like, why did anyone want to know that?
You can't do a DNA test that fast, A, okay? And then B... Like, why does that matter?
Yeah,
why
is that significant? Like, it's like, why were they trying to let people know that? So, like, obviously, you guys can draw your own conclusions in the comment section about why they did that. But I mean, the point is that certain people obviously are allowed to dominate certain spaces. And I guess my point, going back to her having a podcast, probably making good money for being a young person, like that. Okay, so say they were going to promise her this X amount of money for doing whatever that was, the meme coin thing. Well, now she's hated.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and obviously obviously as Christians, we don't hate anybody, but I mean, like, but the people who would have liked her are going to hate her and they're going to view her as a villain. And then all the things that I said about her really being having no business having this much attention, then they're going to say, you're going to get attention. It's going to be for a negative way. And nobody's going to find you charming anymore when they think you're a thief, whether it's whether she is or she's not. But I mean, that's what she's going to be seen. So it's kind of like that. Yeah, she might have.
I wonder to say,
well, that little bit of money she's going to get right now. And it's not saying it's a little bit, but I'm saying like that she could have had who knows how long she could have strung this podcast out and made money and used that to do other things. But I'm curious because I think that she's got. where they say her podcast called Talk To, and obviously the response, and you better talk to a lawyer because she might go to jail now. I mean, obviously this is stuff where it's like, yeah, this is like very serious stuff. And obviously there's so many crypto scams. I mean, I feel like the law should come down hard on these people who do this kind of stuff. And it's like I know there's a very obvious response from a lot of people saying that anybody who got scammed on this thing, who bought the Hawk Tua coin, deserved to get scammed. Mm-hmm. Well, what they said was, like, the Hawk Tua and her team, Haley Welch and her team, they said that they were not marketing this to regular crypto investors. They're marketing this to people who had never bought crypto. And they were literally just doing it because to support her and to be a part of this team and do all this stuff. So it's like so what you're saying is like you're taking advantage of the only people who could have been taken advantage of during this thing. Because obviously somebody like Brian and I would be like, well, that doesn't seem like the best investment. So like if you did get scammed, you would say, well, I should have known better. Like I should have known better. But these people had no idea like what would happen. And then this happens. And yeah, like I said, so you really are like, you're taking money from your fans who were actually giving you money in the first place by supporting your podcast and buying your merch, doing whatever. And then you just stole from them.
So
allegedly.
The thing is, I don't think she is aware that, like, because there's no way to talk to a girl, put this together and knows how Bitcoin works. So, there was my suspicion. Okay. She's like Bad Baby. Remember Bad Baby? Do you know who remember that girl
is? I know that name.
Is?
I'm not sure what she did.
Do you remember? Okay. Cash Me Outside, Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah. That's who she is. Oh, yeah. I know.
She is the equivalent to Cash Me Outside girl. Okay.
And so the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah. Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
And so Catch Me Outside Girl is interesting because she is a ethically morally corrupt human. Okay, morally corrupt person that's just like wicked. Like she's literally like so evil. She's like, catch me outside. Like, and she's so delusional.
How about that?
Yeah. And she's so delusional and so vile that her mom's like bringing her on a talk show because she's just like so wicked. And like, yet we turn her in. She says this to Dr. Phil. Like we turn her into a celebrity and like, dude, she's got like makes millions and then becomes a celebrity making music and doing all this other stuff. Like, bro, she's so dumb. This is the reality of what happened. And Hawk Tua Girl is on the same level as Cash Me Outside. Okay, the same level. They're the same person. It's when the rich elites see this person with moral depravity and they see the moral depravity becoming funny. And then they're like, hey, let's promote this morally deprived person to influence society to think that this behavior is acceptable. Yeah. And we'll promote them to the top. And then you want to know what happened to her? I bet she got to the top and they probably were like, hey, why don't you come to our abuse parties where we people and do terrible things? Okay. The reality is she probably was like, I ain't going to do that. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And they're like sending the crypto guys to ruin this.
Well, you know, the cat, I want to say that I do remember the Bad Baby clip where she talked about a party. One of those parties, not all the famous people talk about, they talk about like a Diddy party. And then she was like, she was going to go in there. And she was like, no, she wouldn't go in. I think she knew what was going on the inside of that. I think it was interesting. Like she seems like a morally bankrupt person, but she did have some standards. Cause she was talking about like how she wouldn't, I mean, whatever she actually did.
She got wiser. And then guess what? She got removed from the spotlight. Boom.
That's true. It's been a while. Think about it. I do wonder this, I don't wonder this. I believe this to be true, is that people, like, again, that if you see somebody who would do anything to be famous, obviously some people say, you sure about that? Okay, well, I've got a deal for you to make. And then these people start to do these kind of things. And that's why shows like America's Got Talent or American Idol – And they're like, they're obviously just showing you that they could make anyone a star if they want to. And it's almost like, to me, that show is just like pointed at all these, all the pop stars. And they said, we could replace you with them, with anybody. Mm. We got lines of people just showing up to take your job. We're going to put them on all the magazine covers. We're going to put them on the world tours. And we're going to we make people famous, not you. I do believe that. I believe that they show you, then they probably say, and yeah, it's obviously the truth.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that they gave Hawk to a Girl a podcast. And it's like, because the podcast,
could just do this.
Well, here's the funny thing. It's like the podcast realm is where people are actually the people that are becoming more influential because of Joe Rogan. People are swapping over to podcasts. Like, podcast was not like a thing like a few years ago that everybody would be like, yeah, 100%. Like, I always listen to podcasts. Now, everyone you talk to, you could probably ask them, what podcast do you listen to? And they probably say, oh, yeah, this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like almost everybody has a
Everybody's
podcast.
Everybody's got a podcast now, including us.
Yeah, including us. Yeah. But like, or even that they at least listen to a podcast. You see what I'm saying? And
yeah,
so the podcast
for sure.
realm is such a listened space that they're like, okay, let's make this girl the podcast influencer girl, the version of a Bad Baby. Whatever. So, you know, and by the way, Bad Baby actually went into a lawsuit trying to sue Dr. Phil because Dr. Phil sent her to a camp where they did bad things to her. They did diddy things to her, we'll say.
Mm.
And she called. Yeah. And so she started.
I do remember hearing about that a little bit.
Yeah, she wised up a little bit and realized something's not right. And she's sort of bridging the line of in the industry, but also against the industry to some degree. And so there's some big things in her life that I'm sure she's going through, and you know, pray that the Lord opens her eyes and sees it before too much destruction comes into her life. And there's already been a lot, I'm sure.
All right, let's go on to the next video. And we're going to, once again, this show, it might be a little bit erratic as far as the the videos we're showing, but honestly, I think that's a good thing. Okay. It's 'tis the season, Brian. So we're going to do a Christmas video.
This new Christmas movie replaces Santa with Satan, and he tries to snatch the soul of a little boy. And who's the main actor? Jack Black. So in the new movie, Dear Santa, a child misspells Santa to Satan and accidentally summons him. He tries sending him a wish list, but instead mails it to the devil. So Jack Black comes and tells the boy he is better than Santa. He gives him 3 wishes, and he continues to say, by the way, after you make your wishes, I'm taking your soul. Satan tells the boy, let me show you a few of the things I can do for you. Shows him a casino, a post-Mulan concert where the kid actually meets the artist. The ending of the trailer hints at a wishful ending. You can go watch it for yourselves. But as you would expect, this has got a wild response, all the way from people saying, relax, it's just a movie, to parents trying to cancel Jack Black and saying, don't watch this movie. But I'm curious to know what you guys think, because when I saw Jack Black, I wasn't surprised whatsoever. But replacing Santa with Satan on Christmas, it's kind of wild.
Wow, that's pretty hilarious, actually. You know, to be completely honest, I think it's a funny idea. Like, I thought, like, when I saw the commercial, I was like, that's kind of hilarious. I mean, like, because it's the truth. They're telling you the truth right there in front of your face. And people are like, no.
It's kind of like the dark humor.
Yeah.
And I agree, you know, but it's funny, like, I'm with You won't believe me that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not surprised about that it was Jack Black, though.
No, not
like,
at all.
You know, it's like, it's actually, it makes perfect sense that somebody like Jack Black was doing that.
How many songs has he written about the devil, too, at this point? I wonder. And like, you know, what was that School of Rock? My friend was just telling me she watched School of Rock and rewatched the parts of it because she was just curious, like how much since she's been a Christian, like how much has changed. And bro, she said in the background, there was like demonic sigils throughout the whole movie, School of Rock, which is a Jack Black movie, where he like teaches children to do the devil worship, make devil music at a school or whatever and become a rock band. And she said, dude, there was like demonic sigils in the background. She said there were stickers, there was Baphomet, there was multiple different demons. I'm not going to say all their names, actually. There are multiple different demons' names written in the background throughout that whole movie, like on the walls, on stickers, on random stuff. And she was just like, are you kidding me? This is like so satanic. Like Jack Black is literally, what's his deal, bro? Like, what's his deal? If you haven't figured out, like, he always tends to do these demonic, like, parts that are just like, it's the definition of, like, he verges on the range of, like, satanic innocence, I guess you can call it. Like, oh, it's School of Rock, but it's innocent. Oh, it's Santa, but it's Satan, but it's innocent. And it's like, dude, wake up, people. Wake up. Like, it's legit. They're telling you what it is. It's like in your face, like, but they paint it like it's a happy picture with this dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Jack Black mm-hmm. is, I gotta be honest, I used to like Jack Black. Mm-hmm. I thought he's funny. I do enjoy him in movies, but I mean, I think that he's got that one group. What is it called?
His band.
Yeah, his band's name. I forget what the name is. I don't even want to promote it, but. Yeah. But yeah, like, so he and like Dave Grohl and his other bandmate have like, yeah, movie where I think Dave Grohl plays the devil. I'm pretty sure he might have thanked Satan at one of the award shows. Like, he is like one of those perfect examples of like the revelation of the method. And he reveals things in very comical ways, and you don't take him seriously because he's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, like, you know, when you listen to what they mm-hmm. actually say, though, when he talks about like rock and roll and like that show, the movie School of Rock, it's like he talks about like the spirit of rock and roll and like it's like this rebellious spirit and it's sticking it to the man. It's all this anti-establishment things. And I do believe that. I remember, what was it, when Ice Cube, I think, was it NWA, got added into like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they were basically mm-hmm. saying like that it seems crazy to put rappers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they were saying, I think it was Ice Cube was saying like the rock and roll is a spirit. And then you go back to like the stuff about they sold their souls for rock and roll. You go back to, what's his name, Robert Johnson, who was like the famous blues player. And it was all about this spirit involved in whatever they're doing. And it's like, when somebody tells you that stuff, believe them. But I mean, I get it. I mean, like Brian and I said, we're like, it is funny. It's funny in the way that, yeah, I've made that joke too. It's like everybody notices, like, obviously you rearrange some of the letters in Santa's name. It's Satan. You know, he's this guy who wears red. He, if you believe this, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. It's interesting how much more credit he gets than Jesus does to children. They're taught to that Christmas is about Santa Claus. Like I said, maybe we'll get into it one day. I'm sure maybe on Ancient Angels we'll talk about Christmas a little bit and the roots of it. But point being is, I know lots of well-meaning people celebrate Christmas and they do celebrate Jesus and there's good songs that obviously honor our Lord. And if that's what your motivation is at this time of year, okay, well, it sort of is offensive that some magical man from the North Pole gets the credit when it should be about Jesus, right? Whether, like I said, whether pagan stuff aside, that it is interesting, like that, and it's like his name is so closely resembling it. And what he really teaches children is materialism. Like, then I'm going to bring you things. Well, who in the Gospels is mentioned who can give you all the kingdoms of the earth? All you have to do is worship him.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's kind of like that sort of fits a little bit, doesn't it?
And the three wishes thing, which is a genie, which is a djinn, which is a demon, by the way, guys. So for those that don't know, genies are derived from the Aramaic word or the Arabic word for djinn. And that's what a genie is, who gives three wishes, which is, again, another version of Satan. So and all that wishing stuff is all like not, it's all derived from like making wishes to demons, by the way. Like when you wish upon a star, well, the stars are the fallen angels. So when you wish upon a star is referring to the literally wishing to a fallen angel, a falling star, a falling, that's why it's called that. It's like making a deal with the devil. That's what wishing upon a star is. It's literally making a deal with the devil.
So I have a video to tell you that joke is not new though. You know, like the whole Santa and Satan. Let me see. I gotta dig this up. But yeah, I did a video about this movie.
The other movie they did where they bring out the letters, the elves get the names wrong.
Yeah, let me actually, you know, I still have it on my YouTube. I want to have it as one of my YouTube shorts.
Guys, exciting news. It's almost Christmas and Disney has a new series out. Yeah, it looks like Tim Allen is reprising his role as Santa. Sorry, I get the two confused sometimes. Sometimes Disney does too. Let's take a look at this new clip.
There we go. That's my name.
See? See what they did there? See? It's funny because it's true. Disney, you rascals.
It's so funny. And it's like they've been this joke and stuff all over the place. And it's funny because it's like right there in your face. Yet everybody's like, no, dude, have you seen that there was some people, we're not going to call them out, but there was some people that put out a post, some Christian people that were like, guys, Santa isn't Satan. It's okay. And, you know, Santa is St. Nicholas. And they like put this big post out. I don't know if you saw it where it was they're trying to like, be like, guys, Santa is of the Lord or something. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? This is a pretty big Christian post thing that they put out there, which is hilarious because it's like, guys, what do you think? Like, Jesus came to like give us gifts and presents and party and what is
right? Yeah, that's clearly the message he came bringing, was that you can have all these things, you can have all these material things if you follow me. Actually, I know, I'm pretty sure it was the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, he said, pick up your cross, you know, lay down your life, follow me. That's what Jesus promoted.
Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor.
Yeah, literally.
Deny yourself.
Yeah. Sounds like Christmas to me.
Right. I mean, it is interesting. There is some apocryphal text, and we'll have to get into this on Ancient Angels at some point. But I think it comes from the Ascension of Moses, and that's the very interesting apocryphal text that mentions the Archangel Michael and the devil battling over Moses'
dead body. Yeah.
And it's interesting. What I found the most interesting was saying like that the devil basically had dominion over the physical world. Mm. Like he was the God of that world. And I wonder if that's where some of the biblical texts get the idea that he is the God of this world. And that's not why you're not supposed to love this world and the things of this world, because
he loves this world.
Because yeah, that's why he can give you the physical things, because he had dominion based on what God did, I guess, to gave him dominion over the physical things. Which is interesting. It kind of fits when you think that Jesus came to die. And so we die to ourselves. We die to this physical reality, and then we're born again in spirit. We're raised back in spirit. And that's why you can have communion with God and you can be with him forever, because this stuff does not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want the kingdom of this earth, you know who gives it to you.
Uh-huh.
But not it's the antithesis. And yeah, I do believe that, you know, I don't want this to be too much about Christmas, but because we can do this another time. But I do believe, as I woke up, even before I woke up spiritually, I had a distaste for Christmas based on that, because I just said like that there's something ugly about it all being about people being stressed out about the gifts they have to buy for people. And then the reason people get stressed out about it is because you got to spend this much, or something like, what should I get this person who already has all these things? Like, you know, you're trying to buy for people who already have everything that they could want. And if they needed anything, they would go buy it, you know? So like they're really only lacking like the things that you could never buy them, because you couldn't afford to buy them, the things they actually want, because they would have gotten it themselves. And just to see like that, yeah, that is what's promoted. And so, yeah, that is, to me, that is kind of the antithesis of what, you know, what it's supposed to be about. I mean, obviously you can go back to Thanksgiving, that I know there's pagan roots to that too, guys. And so don't remind me in the comments, but I do think that idea of being thankful and getting together with family to eat and just enjoy people's company and food is a much more Christian concept than making anything about gifts and things like that.
Very true. Very true.
And it's interesting. For one final point though, it is interesting. The whole idea of like writing a letter to Santa Claus, isn't it almost like throwing up a prayer You know, like, it, isn't that kind of what that is? It's like you're writing this thing.
Oh, to, yeah.
Sending it to the North Pole. It's like praying for these things. And so who gives you those things? I mean, you could have prayed to God for some of those things, but you didn't. You sent it to this other guy. And it is interesting that we talk about the millennial kingdom view is like that. Well, it's kind of interesting when we talk about the North Pole, we talk about the Rupert's Nigra, and we talk about this, and you have the mythologies of this magical flying man who comes and gives you things, and he has a workshop full of elves. And of course, Brian and I are going to talk on the next Ancient Angels about elves. Mm-hmm. If you watch like movies like The Lord of the Rings, the elves are very clearly represent angels. So you have this magical man, and you also have surrounded by angels who are the ones who create all the things. Isn't that interesting? Like, even like the millennial kingdom view is like, some people have wondered, is some of the technology and the buildings and all the things, are those elvish? Are they angelish?
Isn't it interesting too, the difference in size? There's always like a size depiction, like the small elves versus the really tall elves. And there's like, it's like very clearly it's referring to the elves, because there was a difference in size when it came down to the Nephilim, the Elohims, and all these.
But yes, sir. Okay, let me go into, maybe we got a room for one more video in here. We might have a good amount to talk about this one. Did I actually add that one correctly?
Do one last one. And then I guess we could talk about this on Ancient Angels. We'll talk about Christmas stuff. Let's ruin Christmas.
Okay, let me play this video. This one's pretty good.
This isn't just a joke. We're in front of Congress talking about this. Yeah. The breakdown of the different UAPs. So there's like the sphere, the orb, and then it says the triangular UAP, arrowhead, and irregular organic, which they said it looks like a brain with arms, like the jellyfish thing.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time occurrence. Like, these are all very much reported on. They have footage, thermal, radar, all that stuff. My opinion, they're setting the stage for a potential attack. But what I thought was crazy, remember in 1561 in Nuremberg, Germany?
Yeah, the UFO war.
Well, the UFO that they described is every single one on this list. The one that stuck out to me the most was the arrowhead one. 1561. Let me just read this from the Nuremberg thing real quick. Quote, many men and women of Nuremberg saw an aerial battle out of the sun, followed by the appearance of a large black triangle object and combatant spheres falling to earth in clouds of smoke. The witnesses observed hundreds of cylinders and other odd-shaped objects that moved erratically overhead. It's the whole list.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that's terrifying.
Bro, that's interesting. Because, like, dang, dude. Like, seeing people, like, imagine that back in 1560 something they said?
1561,
like,
yeah.
Oh, bro, I mean, well, imagine that. Like, supposedly smoke. They didn't know. They didn't have any flying ships and stuff at 1561, did they? Did they have aerial stuff?
Well,
you know,
I guess that's the thing. It's like, I can't say for sure they didn't know. Because I do believe, I remember looking this up at one point, airships were a thing way earlier than we're ever told. So, again, in the view of, like, you know, the old world and things like that, I can't say what they had or what they didn't have. What I thought was interesting about that, for one, I'll just say this. I only watched some of those guys' videos. I really can't verify if they were correct that everything described from 1561 is the same as what they described in Congress. Could be. You guys do that. Do your own homework on that. That being said, those triangular shaped objects, and I'm sure those guys probably use AI art to have images for the video, like, you know, like we do. But I was just thinking, like, I wonder if they look like Star Destroyers. I mean, I was thinking, like, in Star Wars, like, you know, remember Darth Vader's ship? He had like the Imperial Star Destroyer, like the really big one. And it looked just like some of those ships. And obviously the other ones are just triangular shaped spaceships and stuff like that. Pretty interesting. I think it's pretty interesting how little attention some of this UAP stuff or UFO stuff gets to the general public now, where these guys just go in front of Congress and they're just talking about UFOs and aliens and all the things. And people just, they really do seem like they could care less about this stuff. Isn't it weird?
They write it off like it's like not actually happening, or like they just doesn't get in the news as much, as popular or as big. And then sometimes it does, but it's like society just doesn't, like, is not affected by it. It's very, very suspicious. It's very unusual. I think it's fascinating that That 15, I got to look up the book about in 1561. I got to look.
Yeah,
up
we need.
The
yeah, we need to do a deep dive. Maybe we could do a deep dive into that on the other podcast.
Yeah, because that right there is very fascinating, and I think that's I mean, did they see smoke falling from these machines? Like, that's not something that you would have seen back then. If you saw, like, you wouldn't be used to like something seeing
you wouldn't
smoke
think so.
Flying from it, right? Yeah, so it'd be like, why was smoke coming from that? Because they didn't even have like. I don't know. It just seems so like, yeah. What did they find? What did they see? What was it? What if that was like angels and like, you know, having some kind of physical war? Like,
yeah,
you know, like who knows? Like that would be amazing to know.
Yeah. The one thing that was interesting that he said, and it was like, I almost was ready to agree with him, but he was like, I think they're preparing us for an attack. And of course I was like, I think they're preparing us for a deception is what I'm gathering from this. I always say that, I mean, I feel like this should be obvious to everybody, but it's not. Okay, so a lot of these UAPs or UFOs are described as not obeying the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's not physical then, right? It could be something you could see, but it's not a physical object, and like that's how it can do things that we don't understand how it's done.
Maybe it's,
you know, there's
demonic.
Also the other possibility that if angels are smarter than us and they could have technology, you know, and I believe that's true. I mean, I think that goes all the way back to the Book of Enoch that the angels taught men to do certain things with working metals and ores and things like that, and using witchcraft and all kinds of things. So could they have technology? Yes. I think it's hard for people to understand though that angels would need technology because we have a idea of what they are. I don't know what they are really. I mean, like I said, I know that they're created by God and I don't think we know the extent of their power. And, but it's interesting. And also in the way that there's all these mythologies that spirits took on physical forms. And some of these mythologies says that after they took on physical forms, they were not able to be spirits anymore. So is it possible that some of these, the fallen, did take on physical forms and they were not able to, like I said, again, they left their first estate and then they were not able to do what they used to be able to do. Mm. And so they stayed here.
They got locked here.
I do think that's interesting. It even gets into like the comic books and you have like the Silver Surfer. The Silver Surfer was Galactus's herald. And so Galactus is this monstrous god of a celestial being, and he lives off draining the life out of planets. And so they get sent, the Silver Surfer is supposed to go look for the planets that are good to nourish Galactus. So he comes to Earth and then he has an affinity for the people. And eventually he joins with the people of Earth in order to stop Galactus. And so they can't really, but eventually Galactus changes his mind and he decides to spare Earth, but then he imprisons the Silver Surfer for disobeying him, and then he can't leave the atmosphere of Earth. I think it sort of sounds like this is a Gnostic story of Galactus being our god, his herald being
Satan.
Being the angel of light and the one who's actually the god to humans and helps them and gives them knowledge of things. And yeah, so it's like, what if that's sort of a story too, that these beings, the ones who did betray God, got trapped here, and then their power was limited, and then so, but they have obviously high intellects, they understand how this place works, and they could make machines. I leave room for the possibility, or those things could literally be government things, and it also could be a combination of the two. It could be some government stuff combined with knowledge from the fallen.
That's kind of where I sit. I kind of sit that, like, I think they're the Germans from World War II is what I think they are. I think they're those guys that got some knowledge from the gods. And that's what this whole thing is. I think it's all connected to this group of elites that are in league with these supposed gods of this space. Like there's like an overlap connection there.
Yeah, I can see that. I remember Michael Heiser actually, before he passed, he did a really interesting video about aliens and demons on, I think you look it up on YouTube. Maybe I'll link it in the description. I thought it was really good, but I thought I really liked his take about that. He gave us this anecdote about how he believed the government was trying to promote the idea of UFOs and stuff like that, even though at the same talking out of both sides of their mouths, but they were denying it, but they were also allowing some of these conspiracies to grow and be propagated in order to potentially deceive people from what they're actually doing. Because what his take was, and I think it's a great one, is that if a good majority of the people don't believe in aliens, they don't believe in UFOs. I mean, obviously the percentages of that is obviously probably becoming, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's closer to 50-50 now, I don't know. But for the longest time, nobody believed in that sort of thing. So if you saw something weird, you experienced something weird, and you told people it was UFOs or aliens, well, most people would just disregard what you said, and they would think you were crazy. So if you did see some government high-tech, top-secret craft, if you said it was a UFO, people would not believe you. But if you said it was something that was the government's, people would obviously be more likely to want to know more, and they would be likely to think it's true. So it was like, it's like the perfect cover is to say this doesn't exist and then say it kind of does exist in order to, you know, it's kind of like they could trick people in all kinds of different ways.
You can leak information. I mean, it's also very beneficial because like right now, if everybody over Texas saw this giant triangle floating shape that blocks out the sun, right? Everyone in the world and then like saw this and it floated all the way across the United States, right? Everybody that saw it is going to say, okay, we're going to have a theory on it, right? We're all going to like, if we don't have that alien theory out there and this mixed theory on people that think that this was already coming or think that this was here, they make, when you think you know the answer, you make up solutions and connect dots that aren't necessarily relevant to what the reality is. Like, bro, if we all saw that and there was no news about aliens or anything, everybody would be like, okay, right, immediately we'd all come to a common consensus and we'd be like, this is a deception, this is demonic, this is all, we would come to a common consensus. But because they're leaking information, and the common consensus would probably be pretty accurate to what it is. Maybe it was demonic, maybe it was government, maybe whatever. But because they're leaking information, when if there is a deception like that that happens now, you're going to get so many polarizing views, it's going to create division. It's going to be like, they're going to be like, no, they're our friends. No, they're aliens. No, they're demons. No, they're the, and like, there will be no common consensus. It's just going to create chaos. So by leaking this information, and whoever knows the truth is the one that has control. So that's what they're doing by leaking out stuff and then saying it's not there, saying it's there. It's creating a space for people to make up their perspective, what they think these things are, what they think is going to happen, or what they think aliens actually are. And that's laying the bedrock, the ground floor, for the basis of controlling the narrative and confusion and truth. Like, this is how they divide and conquer. This is how they, you know, knowledge is power. This is how all that is. So it's all the same thing being played out in front of you right now.
Yeah. And this is, if you guys have ever heard this book called Along Came a Pale Horse by William E. Cooper, he that's literally what he's kind of saying, is like the governments of the world have this idea that one day they're going to deceive people by some kind of alien deception, and like there's some kind of invasion coming, and then they're going to consolidate more power during that. So a lot of this stuff could literally be the whole predictive programming that, like, you would not, yeah, your mind not wouldn't immediately go to aliens or things from other planets if you weren't shown this so much. And the culture, and now including on the news and before Congress. So when you do see something, it'll be natural for you to just associate with that. And it also won't be so, it'll seem way more normal than it should, right? When you do see something in the sky, like the things that we would, yeah, maybe with a biblical worldview, you'd say, obviously this, I don't know where it came from. It came from heaven. It came from some place. Maybe it came from hell. I don't know where it came from, but like, they want to be able to steer you to their truth. And I think ultimately their truth is not truth at all.
Let's say right now we have an event that happens. Okay. And we see this giant triangle in the sky thing. And then the government comes out and goes, listen, guys, this is an alien invasion. We all need to, We all need to operate in accordance. I want everybody to stay inside. You all need to get wear these wristbands, and you need to
martial law.
You need to put this thing on, and we all need to check in. Everybody would start doing it, right? But then there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to go, you know, something's not fitting right. They're like, you're going to eat this. Everybody needs to get this injection now and drink this food because there's those aliens may have released a gas. We found that it was toxic and blah, blah, blah. Everybody's going to be like, something's up. Something's a little fishy right now. And no matter who you talk to, they're going to be like, hey, this is something's off. Something's off. But then you're going to talk to people and some people are going to go, no, it's real. It's here. We need the injections. And then you're going to talk to some people and they're going to go, oh no, they're from the Lord. They're heavenly beings. You're going to talk to some people and they're going to be like,
Billy Carson will be like, yeah, exactly.
So they're not going to, we're not going to have a common consensus of the truth. The common consensus will not be, hey, this is overdone, guys. Like, they're trying to plan us into something. No, because they've already released information, there will already be confusion, and people in the environment will have their own opinions and be like, no, we need to do it. Some people will be like, no, it's totally evil. And some people, and the creation of confusion rather than common consensus is going to literally perpetuate their ability to continue abusing it, the authority that they have over you. Because nobody's going to be in full agreement because they've already put the idea out there. And a bunch of people, there's people that think the aliens are your friends. You know, there's people that think the aliens are the good guys now. There's people that think, bro, never is an alien your friend, by the way. Never in any circumstance ever will an alien ever be a good guy. Okay. Because if they're here, they're here for only your detriment. Okay. They're here to either take resources and observe you like a science experiment, one or the other. Okay. There, and either way, it's going to be bad for you in the end. So aliens are not your friend in that regard, if they are aliens. Okay. But like, that's the thing. We don't know what this is. Like, who knows what this is?
We would know that if it's from God, they're not coming to say they're coming from other planets and they're here.
No.
You know, they would not come to deceive. So if something showed up and it was allowed it to be called something else, I believe, yeah, that it is. It would be nefarious. With that being said, I got one more video to show you. And actually, this is going to lead into the next episode of Ancient Angels.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about the rings of power. And there's a very interesting scene. And I'm just going to set this up already because you're not going to be able to. I'm sure I'm going to be able to show this clip on the show. But I'll describe what we watched. And I'll maybe put some stills up. But I'm going to show this to Brian, and we'll maybe get his reactions here, and I'll describe what we're actually watching. What we're seeing is they're coming into this epic city from the sea with towers, gigantic faces on rocks. Obviously, you guys are seeing all this stuff, but it's just an awe-inspiring city that is kind of like in the vein of like the most epic old world structures you can imagine. And it's just like, how did people do this? It's like Numenor, the island kingdom of Numenor. It's almost like Atlantis or something like that.
Or Nibiru.
Yeah, but basically, so what we just watched, guys, was that clearly they're showing like this epic city. And then there's this conversation between this guy named Halbrath and this, I guess Halbrath or Halbrass, I forget his name. Forget it. It's not important. A man is talking with an elf, and he's saying, since when did men like me build kingdoms like this? And I think that is the question we've had, like, in the old world community. It's like you're seeing these epic things, and you're, like, asking, since when did men like me build places like this? And then her answer was, these men are not like you. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, like, in the setup for this show is it's – something that's happened before was there was this epic battle in this demonic being called Morgoth was like before Sauron, and he was the one they're fighting. You know, it's like good versus evil. Morgoth is evil. And she was saying like the men like him sided with Morgoth, and then the ones who sided with the elves were given this kingdom or helped, or they were even given. It's unclear if they were given knowledge to build this kingdom or if the elves built this kingdom and then they were allowed to live in it or they built it together. Some version of that, I guess, is true. But I found that super interesting if you think like what about after the Battle of Armageddon? If it was like that the people who sided with Morgoth, with the beast and the false prophet and all the evil, if those people were banished, and they were obviously, most of them were wrecked and killed. And then the ones who, God's people, they were given a kingdom. Isn't it sort of interesting? And it's kind of like that. It is wild to think, like, when we see these carved statues in the rocks and you see like epic buildings, you know, it's kind of like, as epic as that city was, you're shown, and as beautiful it is, there's really nothing that we haven't done here. Or not, I would say we, but I mean, there's nothing that's not, there are places like that on Earth. Maybe not to the level and to the grandiose of it, seeing it in its prime, but like that stuff is real to the world. And so we wonder, and you see, when you see them, the sporadic buildings in different places, maybe it seems like, oh, well, they could have built these one-off buildings. But when you see a whole city of it, like, everyone would have to say, when could we build buildings like this? Mm. And the answer is, you cannot build buildings like this. And that's the truth of today. And I think that I do believe that this show is showing you a window into, like Tolkien had this very fleshed out world, this universe that is obviously based on some real things. And like, we wonder if like Tolkien, what was that secret club he was in with, like, that was like C.S. Lewis was in it too. It was some kind of like thing about
the Inklings.
And it's like, he's obviously putting lots of stuff in this, in the show. Well, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how much the show relies on original works of Tolkien, but yeah, there's a lot there. And now it's like, I used to have an idea of like that Lord of the Rings was like this Days of Noah story, but now I don't think it is. I think that these stories are actually more likely more current than I ever realized. And you think about like that, some of these things about Middle Earth, because I think that elves represent angels, you know, obviously men, you know who men are. And then you can make your conclusions about who the dwarves are. I think they might be, Ashkenazi dwarfs. Let's just say that.
Ashkenazi dwarfs.
I'm just saying, like, I get the sense that, well, I mean, interesting in like the Lord of the Rings, that they tunnel under the mines of Moria, and Mount Moria is where's the Temple Mount.
Moriah. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like, so I mean, so obviously that's why
That is funny, because it is it's Mount Moriah.
Look at their features. I'm just saying, like, you know, like I'm just noticing things. So hopefully you guys don't find that.
Well, you know, J.R. Tolkien talks about this being a real story. I don't know if you know that, but like, he literally says that his stories, what he's
didn't he write from... a, didn't he write a whole language for?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. The language.
That's a lot.
Bro, he said that his story is a made up story from real scenarios that were happening. So he it's like the movie Titanic is like what his story is. He says J.R. Tolkien's story is like Titanic, basically, in that regard. Like, it's a real event and real things that took place. He's saying it's real beings and real characters from a real historical context that he pulled from to create his scenario. And so he says it's real. I mean, that's pretty weird. The dude says it's real.
Well, you know, I would say this, that all good stories come from true stories. Mm-hmm. Like, that they're based on true stories, like real story, like things that really happen. I think that that's why, like, if you actually find out, like, in the movies, or just in the movies and also literature, there's like three different types of stories, basically. And they all come from like a real true story. And so I think that, like, the principles of like the hero's journey and all that kind of stuff, good versus evil, it's like, yeah, it's all based on like on the truth. And sometimes I think that Hollywood, what they'd like to do is they would twist the truth. And so like, yeah, it's good versus evil, but then they invert things where like our God is the bad mm-hmm. guy, and people don't see it, but they are ingrained with these messages subconsciously that the characters who are all about order and the rules and who are just uncaring, like, that is literally like when you start to read about like God saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and I want to have a place that's like this. And so that then the bad characters end up having those certain kind of qualities, and that's the way they are. And they're very unloving, and it's like my way or the highway. I think without knowing it, like, that is what they are actually subconsciously telling you. So when you see that, and then you see the other characters who are the rebels, and they're the ones who are going against that, it's like that, you know, when when everything man does is good, and then there's the men are good, and it's like the other beings are bad. I think now whether the Lord of the Rings is like that, I mean, I can see that kind of. Overall, it does seem like, especially in the Rings of Power, Sauron epitomizes the devil. He's like the deceiver. He manipulates people, and he's trying to figure out a way to, through the spirit world, motivate flesh to do what he wants it to do. I think it's a pretty interesting show. Obviously, the critics, I don't think, like it too much. I don't think the fans like it too much. I think there's a lot of, they tried to make it, the cast maybe a little bit too diverse, and maybe they focused on that. But overall, the story, I think, is interesting. It's interesting in the way that, yeah, how much of the truth is being revealed through this fantasy universe. And I think it's interesting in that kind of way.
I really like your Ashkenazi dwarf idea, because I just think that the Mines of Mordor or Moria, was it Mordor? Yeah, Mordor.
Oh, they were the Mines of Moria, and then and obviously they're.
It's Mount Moriah. It's literally the mountain that the temple.
They're seeking jewels and stuff inside the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And dude, I mean, that's hilarious. That's very, so, I mean, like, dude, I like J.R. Tolkien, he was spot on with his stuff, well, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're revealing. I mean, he's got a worldview. And like I said, I don't know if that's me projecting my worldview onto it or if that's what I'm seeing. But, you know, I've been known to be wrong a time or two, but I think that.
Well, the dwarves are the same size as the hobbits, too. By the way,
they're actually not. They are. I remember seeing a scene where, like, the Elrond, who's like in the Lord of the Rings, and he's also in this
Elrond.
Elrond, yeah, he's like, but he is. I didn't realize it when I saw the Lord of the Rings. Is that he is half elf? Mm. His father was a man, so his mom was an elf.
Like,
but anyways,
like
at some point
guy.
There's a scene where like an elf stands on a stone and he's as tall as Elrond. So it's like, so the dwarves are like kind of like come up like there's like shoulder height on like kind of normal people. And obviously then the hobbits are about yay high. Now, who are the hobbits in the story?
That's us.
The hobbits.
We're the hobbits. The humans.
I thought the men were the men. Brian, now you're confusing me.
No. So in the hobbits are the humans, and the elves are the angels, the elves, and the dwarves are somewhere in between. I guess that makes sense. And then the men are just like, it's the perversion of the idea that we are men is like, but the men are maybe they're the, I don't know.
I think we're the men. I always thought the hobbits were just kind of an outside thing where they're the outsiders in this story. So it's kind of almost like they're the viewer is the hobbits. But and obviously then you even have like in this show, you have there's a dark elf who was once like the regular elves, and he's the father of all the orcs.
Mm.
Which is interesting. Again, like that comes to like, you have this angel who's not an angel anymore. He's all dark and he's evil, and he fathered the orcs. And the orcs, so like you think about them, they're basically like flesh covered demons, you know. They're just totally evil, and yeah. But their father was an elf.
Interesting, very fascinating.
Well, anyways, guys, I think that's we're gonna wrap it up here. And of course, if you want to hear more about this conversation about the Tolkien fantasy universe and Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, I'm going to send you over to Brian's channel. We're going to do an episode over there, and we're going to talk specifically about the elves and the Elohim. So if you guys want to check that out, and once again, obviously Brian's links are in the description. Guys, if you guys like this stuff, please hit the subscribe button. I probably should have said that in the beginning of the podcast, because you guys, whatever. And if you guys are listening on the audio only, 5-star review, please, because that would really help me out, because we're trying to do more of this stuff, and that would, every little bit would help. But anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed this show. If you guys got videos you want to send us to talk about on this show, follow us on X at JT follows JC at Demon Erasers, and send us videos in hashtag JT's Mixtape. Once again, guys, I appreciate your support. Love you guys. God bless.
closer, my child.